Good morning.
Good morning.
Hear now this reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, and verse 31. In this passage, we learn that human beings were created in the image of God. Let us listen together for God's word. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in God's image. In the image of God, God created them. Male and female, God created them. God saw everything that God had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. May God bless this reading and hearing.
So we continue today with the second of a three-part sermon series about raising kids with justice, mercy, and kindness, JMK Kids. Now, I won't re-preach last Sunday's sermon, but it's helpful to know that last time in conversation with Cindy Wang Brandt and her book Parenting Forward, I asserted two things. The first thing I asserted was that God calls us, and it's our sacred responsibility as parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, godparents, aunts, uncles, friends, and neighbors to raise our kids to live as God lives, which is to say to live with justice, mercy, and kindness, to be those who ensure that others have enough, who forgive for the sake of relationship, and for who recognize the kindness that God first shows to us and extends that kindness out into the world. Second, I asserted that an essential part of raising our kids to be those of justice, mercy, and kindness is to make sure that we take time not only to raise them, but to raise ourselves, right? To do that healing work, to work on our own inner spiritual lives, our mental health, our physical health, to help raise ourselves to be more and more adults who live with justice, mercy, and kindness so that we can teach that and model that to our kids. So this week we shift gears a little bit away from raising ourselves and we focus on a topic that quite frankly is very difficult to talk about in our culture and certainly very difficult to talk about in the church. And that is looking at our children's physical selves, our kids' bodies. How can we expect them to live with justice, mercy, and kindness when they are in wrong relationship with their own bodies? Let's pray. Tell me, God, this is a big topic. We ask for your presence in this. Give us your word, give us your presence, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, and give us courage to risk justice, mercy, and kindness that we might be better prepared to weave it into the world. Amen. So in her book, Parenting Forward, Cindy Wang Brandt observes that from the second that they're born, our children, they have their bodies, their minds, and their spirits integrated together. So she, as evidence of this, she notices what you might have noticed, babies, whenever they get one of those board books, right, it immediately goes into their mouth and they start chewing on it, right? So she uses that as a metaphor, making no distinction in our kids, satiating their minds, satiating their spiritual needs, satiating their bodies, all of it come from the same place, that those needs are integrated together. So when babies are babies, they're cold, they're in pain, they cry. When they want something, they just simply grab for it. There is no filter, there is no screening. What you see with a baby is what you get. As we grow, though, that integrated spine, body, and spirit, it tends to become disintegrated. Now, in some ways, that's good and right and healthy and true, right? It's good to have some filters in our lives. It's good not to say everything we think. We know that, right? To act on every human impulse that we have. That our disintegration in some way is a sign and symbol of our maturity and our growth. However, some of the ways that our bodies, minds, and spirits become disintegrated from one another can be anything but healthy and can become very unhealthy. Here's some examples. We learn over time, I think, that pain, showing our pain, can also show other people our weakness or be perceived as a weakness. So we learn to hide our pain, often to the detriment of ourselves. We learn to rank ourselves and one another based upon the color of our skin. We learn to rank ourselves and one another based upon our physical health, on our brain chemistry, and on our differing abilities. We learn along the way that our bodies can be controlled by others, right? They're not always our own, or at least it comes across that way. They can be controlled by our parents, by our partners, and by our politicians. We learn along the way the hard lesson that our bodies can be abused. We learn that if our sexual or gender identity does not match our genitalia, that we can be persecuted. We learn that if our sexuality is anything but heterosexual, that we can be persecuted. We learn that we're too fat or too thin or too tall or too short or one of a million other things. And the messages come into us in a thousand ways, in a million different ways, that our bodies are a problem. They are a source of our suffering. They are a source of our shame. Cindy Wang Brandt says this. So we gave our bodies over to the world, letting them conform more and more to what is acceptable, while watching them drift away from who we really are. We severed ourselves from our bodies and became accustomed to compartmentalizing various aspects of our identity. So with our identities compartmentalized, and our bodies, minds, and spirits disintegrated in some healthy ways, how can we ever expect ourselves and our kids to live with justice, mercy, and kindness? How can we live with justice? How can we live in a way that helps other people have what they need if we've learned that our bodies don't deserve to have what they need? How can we learn to live with mercy, forgiving in a way that builds up relationships, if we haven't learned to forgive our own bodies for what they want and the way that they are? How can we live with kindness when we've not learned to be kind to our very own selves? How can we raise justice, mercy, and kindness in our kids when our kids are living in a wrong relationship with their bodies? So there's good news. From our tradition that I'm so grateful for, our Judeo-Christian tradition and the stories we have to tell, the central to that tradition is the claim that we are made in God's own image, right? And then God said, let us make humankind in our own image according to our likeness. And then God looked at all that God had made and called it very good. So central to our story, a foundational story of our tradition is the claim, these three claims, that God made us, that God made us in God's own image, and that we are very good. So here's where it gets hard. We know this. We've heard this from Genesis 1. We hear it in church. We hear it in many other places too. But that message, that essential truth claim of our faith, is so easy to forget, right? We hear that our bodies are terrible and not the way they should be. And we forget the claim that God made us. We forget that our bodies aren't even close to perfect or the way that we imagine that they should be. And we forget that we are made in God's own wonderful, amazing likeness. We forget, or we hear over and over again, that our bodies are really, really bad, right? And we come to believe that. And we forget the life-giving, justice, mercy, and kindness-inducing truth that God looks upon us, you, and your body, and calls you in the Hebrew tob, good. Very good. Very, very good. So that's a claim of our tradition. It's powerful and it's essential and it's so easy to forget. So I don't want to just race on in this sermon. I just want to give us a couple of seconds here, just some time and space for you to reflect on this truth that God looks on you, your body exactly as it is, and calls you so very good. Out of the silence, dear ones, let's return to a focus on our kids. A focus on our kids because, you know, it's hard being a kid. It's hard hearing all of those lessons that they hear that tear them down, their minds, their bodies, their spirits. It's hard being a kid, and there is a need for them to find healing. There's a need for us to be those who encourage them, constantly reminding them of the truth claim of our faith that they are so very good. When they hear that their bodies are bad, that they're the wrong color, the shape, or size, we need to encourage them and tell them in their face often that you are so very beautiful. When our kids hear their bodies are not their own, we need to model for them that their body is their own. They're allowed to be touched in the way they want to be touched, tickled or not tickled as they want, hugged or not hugged when they want, and that they are allowed to dress the way they want and look the way they want. Parents, within reason, I get it. It's true. Our kids need to have agency in how they appear and how they feel and how they come across in the world. And we need to be the ones to give them permission, even when that haircut's kind of funky. We need to be those, when our kids hear this message, we need to be the ones that tell them that message. When they hear this message, we need to whisper this love into their ear. When they hear this message, we need to be to proclaim from the mountaintops over and over again, all day, every day, that they are so very good. And having heard that message, they will be better equipped to be those who live with justice, mercy, and kindness towards their own bodies, and then able to live with justice, mercy, and kindness outward in the world. So Cindy Wang Brandt summarizes it so beautifully when she just says this: when our children live in right relationship with their body, they will move and move others. More to say, much more to say, but we will pause here again and finish this series up next week with a sermon titled Parenting for Inclusion. Join us, bring a friend, but until then, find the kids in your life, whether it's in person or by FaceTime or a phone call or a text or however that is, and do your best to go to those kids in your life and just tell them the message they are desperate to hear. That they are so beautiful and so very, 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 very good. And for the kids who are still in this room this morning, I hope you heard me say that loudly and clearly. Amen.